The Senate filibuster has been a hot topic of debate for years. Despite Democrats currently controlling the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the presidency, without changing the current rules of the Senate filibuster, the Biden administration will not be able to implement any of his agenda. I mean, we can be sure half the things he promised he had no plan on passing into law. There has been a long fight to reform this procedure, but many moderate Democrats, including Joe Biden himself, have been hesitant to touch it for a variety of reasons. This week, Joe Biden made a stark turn.
Aren't you going to have to choose? I know you've been reluctant to do away with the filibuster. Aren't you going to have to choose between preserving the filibuster and advancing your agenda?
Yes, but here's the choice. I don't think you have to eliminate the filibuster. You have to do it what it used to be when I first got to the Senate, and that is that a filibuster, you had to stand up and command the floor.
So you're for that reform. You're for bringing back the talking filibuster.
I am.
This development could lead to a real possibility for progressive legislation in the next year. But what does this all mean? What is the filibuster? What is this talking filibuster Joe Biden just referenced? We're going to break it all down today on your weekly Fonzie Scheme Briefing. A filibuster is a long speech used to extend debate before a law is voted on. However, that is not exactly what the filibuster rules are in the U.S. Senate. There are instances when senators have given long speeches to filibuster.
Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
He did that for literally no reason. He claimed he was making a speech to go against Obamacare, and he did speak for 21 hours, but he threw in reading Dr. Seuss just for fun. He could have simply issued a silent filibuster. A silent filibuster is pretty much just threatening to give a long speech to prevent a vote. Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon, a major advocate for abolishing the filibuster, noted in 2012, quote, "In the 1900s and the 1970s, there was an average of one silent filibuster per year. And then, since I came here in 2009, we have an average of over 60 per year." The silent filibuster has become completely abused, but let's dive into the history of all of it to see how we got here. In the early years of the Senate, the rules were simple. A bill was introduced, there would be a debate on it, and then a simple majority was required to end debate and move to a vote on the bill. In 1806, Aaron Burr convinced the Senate to remove this rule and allow debate to continue indefinitely. It just says, insert Hamilton reference. Did my writers not finish this script? Oh, I don't have writers? This change was not a major problem, because in order to keep debate going, someone had to be talking, hence the term talking filibuster. No one even thought to abuse this rule, so debate on a bill would go on for a while, and then they would vote on it and move on. In 1917, 12 anti-war senators were able to successfully stop a bill that would have armed merchant vessels against German submarines in World War I. Woodrow Wilson, frustrated, urged the Senate to make a change to the filibuster. So, they implemented a procedure known as cloture, which required a two-thirds majority of the Senate to end debate. Now it took 33 senators to keep debate going indefinitely. Still inefficient, but filibusters were used very rarely for decades. From 1917 to 2000, there were an average of 10 cloture votes per year, with the majority of those taking place in the 90s. Since 2000, there have been over 1,500 motions for cloture. It's wild. In August of 1957, Senator Strom Thurmond gave a filibuster speech for over 24 hours, pissing in a bucket on the Senate floor, in an attempt to stop the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1957. This speech included him reading the phone book. It was unsuccessful, but the racist history of the filibuster was born. In 1964, Strom Thurmond was at it again, along with a group of Southern senators, to filibuster the 1964 Civil Rights Act. This obstruction was carried out over 60 days before a cloture vote to end it was reached. So just to be clear, some of the most consequential uses of the filibuster in the last century have been to block civil rights legislation. I can't believe it, because my idol Ben Shapiro told me that systemic racism does not exist in America, and he only deals in facts. Someone must be lying. It's also important to note that the structure of cloture went against the wishes of the Founding Fathers. Allowing 33 senators to have the ability to stop legislation is giving power to the minority over the majority. Before the Constitution was written in 1787, we had a government under the Articles of Confederation, which were ratified in 1781. One of the main reasons they failed was because Congress required 9 of the 13 states to pass any laws. This supermajority requirement made it very difficult to get anything done. a key principle in the Constitution was, barring some rare exceptions, to require a simple majority to pass legislation. Alexander Hamilton wrote in Federalist Paper 22 specifically about this issue, and inadvertently made a strong case against the Electoral College as well, but that's a topic for another video. I bring this up not because I'm some constitutionalist or that I give a fuck at all at what a bunch of racist white fucks from the 1700s could have thought about governance in the 21st century, but because that dying turtle cocaine Mitch McConnell does, or at least claims to. Once again, these constitutional conservatives prove to have no real ideology other than obstructing progress and going against the left. Another major change to the filibuster took place in 1975. The Senate website describes it as, quote, "The Senate reduced the number of votes required for cloture from 2/3, 67, to 3/5, 60, unquote. This does not tell the whole story at all. The change was from 2/3 of those present to 3/5 of the body. Before 1975, if you wanted to stop a bill, you had to be ready and on the floor for a vote at any time. It was vital for the no votes to be present and voting. After the change, you simply need 60 votes for cloture. The no votes don't even have to be present because their vote is a no whether they're there to vote or not. So with a silent filibuster, a senator can just have a staffer send an email to filibuster a bill and never have to even show up to the Senate. This gave significantly more power to the minority and made it even easier to impede progress. Yet we still have this happen.
Would you like them here or there? I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them.
In 2005, a group of Republican senators led by then-Majority Leader Bill Frist sought to change the filibuster rules so it no longer applied to judicial nominees. Mitch McConnell, who was Senate Majority Whip at the time, played a key role in this fight to change the filibuster rules. On the Senate floor in May 2005, McConnell stated in a speech, quote, "To correct this abuse, the majority in the Senate is prepared to restore the Senate traditions and precedents to ensure that regardless of party, any president's judicial nominees, after full and fair debate, receive a simple up or down vote on the Senate floor. It is time to move away from advise and obstruct and get back to advise and consent," unquote. Wow, honestly sounds like a reasonable take. The minority party should not have a veto power over what the country voted for as the majority. Even though whenever there's a Republican majority in the Senate, they're almost always representing a minority of the country. The fact that Wyoming and Texas both get two senators is absurd. We need to abolish the Senate entirely. But anyway, this attempt to change filibuster rules became known as the nuclear option because it was thought of as a last resort. This change did not end up happening then, but in 2013, the democratically controlled Senate did invoke the nuclear option. They eliminated the use of the filibuster on executive branch or judicial nominees, except for the Supreme Court. Their main motivation was Republicans' lack of cooperation on any judicial appointments, specifically in the DC Circuit Court of Appeals. In a shocking revolution of opinion, Mitch McConnell strongly condemned this rule change. He tried to say Democrats were breaking Senate rules by changing the rules. And he said that they would, quote, "regret this," unquote. They of course did, because Mitch McConnell never misses out on a chance to own the libs. King shit. In 2017, Mitch McConnell and the Republican-controlled Senate invoked the nuclear option again to preclude Supreme Court nominees from the filibuster. Hence, we have Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett, easily confirmed on the court. That brings us to today. In a democratically controlled House, Senate, and presidency, the opportunity to get much legislation passed at all will be very difficult. The stimulus bill was able to get through due to a parliamentary procedure known as reconciliation that allows certain budgetary measures to pass the Senate with a simple majority. But with many major bills in the House and Senate currently, including Medicare for All, the For the People Act, and the PRO Act, there is no hope to get these bills passed with the rules as they currently stand. Provide health care, protect voting rights, and empower unions? Not possible if the Republicans are able to have a say. There are many options to reform the filibuster rather than just abolishing, though that certainly is an option. Just to break down further the complete inefficiencies of the current rules, if a filibuster is invoked, a senator can't simply call for a cloture vote, and if the 60th vote threshold is met, the debate ends. After a filibuster begins, a 2-day waiting period is required where no cloture vote can be held. Next, 16 signatures are needed to motion for cloture. Then, there is a 2-day waiting period to vote on cloture, and finally, an additional 30 hours of debate are held before the final vote on the bill. It's so fun. It's like when your boss asks you how long it will take to finish a task that normally takes an hour. If you say anything less than 3 days, you're a coward. If we make the talking filibuster a mandatory aspect of the process, like Biden spoke about this week, that can improve the situation, but it does not go far enough. The rules should be changed back to requiring the no votes to be present. If Republicans really want to obstruct meaningful legislation, make them stay in the chamber. Make them piss on the Senate floor like the racists of yesteryear. There is also discussion about changing the rules to allow more types of legislation, like voting rights, for instance, to be immune to filibusters. Whatever the options are, Mitch McConnell is once again threatening hellfire if any changes take place.
Nobody serving in this chamber can even begin to imagine what a completely scorched earth Senate would look like. None of us have served 1 minute in a Senate that was completely drained of comedy and consent.
He's pretty much threatening to do everything in his power to halt anything from getting done if they change the filibuster rules. Well, bad news for him is he's already doing that, so the threat isn't very intimidating. The filibuster rules need to be changed. I understand the centrist Dem who doesn't want to completely abolish it and ruffle feathers, but Mitch McConnell and the Republicans have proven that they will retaliate when they can. If we only bring back the talking filibuster, next time Republicans control the Senate, which could be soon, they will not hesitate to change the rules to fit their agenda. The talking filibuster rule does make sense to me. Many refer to the famous Mr. Smith Goes to Washington scene where he gives a long speech. Obviously, it does have the racist history with Strom Thurmond, but there are examples of senators using it effectively to fight to amend legislation, such as Bernie Sanders giving an 8-hour speech in 2010 over a bipartisan tax deal. We'll have to keep a close eye on this saga, as I'm sure it will continue to be on the forefront of the political discourse until something is done about it. That does it for this week's Fonzie Scheme Briefing. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Follow me on Twitter, @EvanFonzie, and come hang out in a Twitch live stream sometime. We're live at twitch.tv/EvanFonzie every Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. Clips from the Twitch show drop on my YouTube channel frequently at youtube.com/EvanFonzie. As always, our music was composed, written, and recorded by Ari Solis. Check him out at arisolis.bandcamp.com or somewhere to hide.com. We'll see you next week. Yeah.